Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, August 25th, 2011. I recently had a chance to visit Quebec City, one of Canada's and North America's oldest cities. My wife and I spent a couple of days in the old city, the central part of Quebec City, exploring what's called the Hauteville et Basseville, the upper and lower parts of the city, as part of our 25th wedding anniversary celebrations. Well, you can't visit Quebec City without stepping inside at least one of the dozens of churches, mostly Roman Catholic, which have a history as old as the city. We visited four, including the magnificent Basilica of St. Anne de Beaupré, a pilgrimage shrine located about a half hour east of the city itself. Well, leaving aside any theological differences, during the visits, the one thing that struck me the most was the magnificent artwork filling each of these buildings. Gold gilt statues, intricate altarpieces, magnificently carved pulpits, and impressive oil paintings. Most of the 400 digital photos I took were of these vast pieces of artwork. And as I read the histories of these edifices, I discovered much of the artwork was created by humble artisans who frequently donated their time and talents. The statues, paintings, altarpieces, etc., were their way of worshiping God and creating works that glorified Him. At one point in time, my thoughts turned to my own church, with its bare walls and empty foyer. While some of the furnishings in the Quebec City churches did border on the ostentatious, I wondered, why couldn't we display art that glorified God in our modern sanctuaries? Why couldn't we have paintings or photos expressing the grandeur of God dot the walls of our sanctuaries? Why can't we set up a small area for meditation featuring statues or even an electronic photo screen with a PowerPoint display? There are artists who can and have created the art that could be used. The question is, are there churches or pastors willing to learn a lesson from the past and display art in these sterile surroundings? Well, what are your thoughts? Do you agree with me? Disagree? Send me your opinion via email to Robert at Selaw Ministries. That's Robert at selawministries.ca. And maybe we can begin a dialogue on this issue. Keep listening, and I'll repeat the email at the end of today's show.
In the quiet, misty morning, when the moon has gone to bed, when the sparrows stop their singing, and the sky is clear and red, when the summer ceased its gleaming, when the corn is past its prime, when adventure's lost its meaning, I'll be homeward bound in time. Bind me not.
That was Homeward Bound from Derek Paul Miller in a duet with Giles Tompkins. On Miller's CD, It Is Well. Miller, a native of New Brunswick, began his career as a country singer before turning to classical music and opera. He splits his time between the Maritimes and Toronto, where he's a member of the Canadian Opera Company Chorus. It Is Well, released earlier this year, is a collection of sacred and inspirational music that allows him to share both his voice and his heart. Well, at the beginning of July, I had a chance to interview Carolyn Wilker about her new book, Once Upon a Sandbox. Well, the cover for that book was created by today's guest, Kitchener artist Deborah Price. Deborah has worked with watercolors and acrylics and has even painted sets for theaters. With us on the phone tonight is Deborah Price. Good evening, Deborah.
Good evening.
Now, when did you start painting?
Well, I've painted for quite a long time. I began painting as a child in school, of course, and, you know, I think started my love and my interest in painting. And then I studied interior design in Humber College, and things started to fill up there. I did a lot of drafting and that sort of thing. And I've moved around quite a lot, and painting has sort of been something that I've done along the way, taken classes here and there, and it's just, I've just continued to develop my love for the arts, and have in the last 5 to 10 years, I would say, that I've really started to develop my sort of fine art style of painting and really concentrate on my work as a painter and an artist.
Well, when did you sort of begin to think that you could actually make a living out of art? You started as an interior designer. Did you look at that as a way of expressing yourself artistically?
Oh, absolutely. As a teenager trying to decide what to do with myself as an adult and a career, I knew that I wanted to do something in the arts, something creative, and so I looked to interior design as a way to make a living, but in a creative way that it would express that creative side and that desire to be painting and or doing something creative with my life.
Now, as you've been going through, like, have you had people that have been influencers with you, either as mentors or people that have helped you develop your style?
Certainly. My parents, I would say, were my first mentors. My dad is a bricklayer by trade, and he enjoyed taking my sister and I to the job site, and I think his enthusiasm for his work introduced me to buildings and a creative process, and I think subconsciously even became part of the reason for my choice to study interior design, just being excited about architecture. I related well to those kinds of details and thinking like that. And my mother was also a very creative person, painted on and off and did some commissions for people. But easily got distracted by family and her own work in working as a secretary in universities. And she often would say to me, you know, I wish that I'd have more time, or I wish I could spend a little more time studying and doing more with my art. And it was a kind of a mantra for my mom, and I remember thinking, you know, I don't want to look back and say I wish I had done more with my creativity and my art. So I would say that they were both great, huge influences, as well as I've had some great teachers in high school that have taken me, you know, developed that enthusiasm for art and given me a good basis for of instruction. Set me on my way. And certainly the studies in interior design, teachers there, and lots of teachers along the way in some of the other places that I've lived have all been definitely been mentors and supporters of my craft.
Well, I know one of the things that happen with writers is as they develop and as they begin their writing, they're often taking as examples some of the classic writers that are out there, but then they get to the point where they develop their own voice. Does that happen with painters as well? You have to learn, of course, the basics of your art, the technique and that, but does it come to the point where you develop your own style?
Yes, it does, to some degree. I think a lot of artists do end up concentrating on maybe developing one specific identity and style. My art has been a little different because I've been, because my art has developed out of initially trying to make a living at my art and having moved around quite a bit through my life, I've ended up needing to see what I can do with my creativity in each place. So my focus has sort of changed in my art as a result of the location and the people that have surrounded me. And I would say that I have, my art has sort of come out of, so my style has sort of changed and molded over the years as a result of the people that have surrounded me, the locations I've lived in, you know, just how my thoughts have changed, and circumstances. So my style, I would say, is much more varied than a lot of artists you might run into. You maybe wouldn't be able to just look at a painting and say, oh, that's got to be a Deborah Price painting. Because I have done illustration, I've done house portraits, I've done architectural presentation drawings. You know, there's just been such a variety of things. And so my style really has developed, you know, and I, maybe I get a little bit, maybe I would have gotten a little bored of just sticking with one thing. So I have abstracts in my repertoire now, which is a little bit more of a new thing that I've sort of branched out into, as well as a lot of very realistic and representational work. So my history is a little different than some as far as that goes.
Well, and you've even had you know, creating design sets for theaters as well, which in a lot of cases is more of a realism, you know, trying to portray something that is realistic, you know, whether it's a room or an outdoor scenery or something like that. So you've had a wide variety of experience within artwork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have, and that's just been so fun, really, just completely fun to have a chance to explore so many things. You know, I at the time I sort of thought that I sort of bemoaned that I wasn't able to maybe explore one area more, or I didn't have a style that people could look at and say, that is mine. But when you sort of stack it all up and look at everything that you've had a chance to work on over the years, it's fun to be able to look at and say, well, I've done a little of this and a little of that, and you know, it's been fun for me.
Is there any one of those type of endeavors that you preferred over the other that you like to do?
The set painting was great fun. You paint really big. You're working with a team of very creative people. It's usually a pretty young environment. The people you're working with are usually quite young and energetic and have great ideas. It's fun to be able to be behind the scenes and work on all these things and know that they're part of the process, that in the end, when the production comes on stage, there's sort of a magic there that the audience, if you've done your work well, either from the standpoint of the painting of the sets or from the costume design or the actual acting you know, the whole the actual production itself, it's really quite exhilarating to see the reaction in the audience and to see that your work has created such an impact and for that moment, that is really quite fun, and I did enjoy that work a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also involved with, right now I would say, the work that I'm doing is I'm enjoying a great deal. I'm involved with a cooperative, an art collective in Waterloo, at the Waterloo shops at the Waterloo Town Square. And there are 23 local artists who have come together to show their work in that space. And I help to, I'm the help to curate the shows for each week. Change over our work every 2 months, and I help to curate the shows to with a team to help make them just, you know, look as good as possible, although the work that everyone produces makes it really quite easy. And as well as being involved in that collective from the organizational standpoint, I'm also it's also a great place to showcase my current paintings. I need to have work every 2 months, you know, new work to mm-hmm. space. And I'm really enjoying that opportunity as well.
I want to explore a little bit more on that in a few minutes, but what we need to do is take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to continue our conversation with artist Deborah Price. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station. With My Soul, the title track from Derek Paul Miller's It Is Well CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with artist Deborah Price. Deborah, just before we went to break, you had mentioned the being involved in this collective of artists in Waterloo, and the fact that every 2 months you need to have new material. How challenging is that as an artist, to have a deadline that says, I need to have X number of paintings by this particular point in time because I have a show coming up?
Well, for me, it's a blessing. I think I'm probably not alone in saying that as an artist, it's easy to procrastinate a little bit.
I was actually just reading a book recently by Gary Molander where he actually talks about the creative process and says exactly that most people with artistic bents tend to procrastinate.
Yeah, probably for a lot of reasons. With creativity, you're really laying your soul out there for everyone to see, and it's easy to sometimes get sucked into the thought that, you know, do I really have anything to say? You know, to just sort of start focusing a little more negative on your own work. It's so easy for just life to get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another, you know, so you really have to... like any discipline that you need to train for. With art, I really need to just kind of immerse yourself in it. And sometimes force yourself to come to the table and just, you know, put on your happy dance and,
mm-hmm.
and some good music and just get that brush out there and start to do something. And so having a deadline for me is great to just give me some incentive and, you know, just kind of keep me on track a little better.
Well, you also have responsibilities outside of your artwork. I mean, you have your family, you're a pastor's wife. How do you balance all of the things that go on around you as well as your work in ministry as an artist?
Well, you know, that's always a struggle for like it is for most folks. I've been very blessed to have a husband that has celebrated my creative side with me and has given me the gift of having time to work on my art. And you really need to just carve out time for the things that are important in your life. And so, you know, my faith is important, my creativity is important, my family, my husband is important to me. And so I work hard to carve out times for all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes they do better than other times, but I think keeping it, trying to keep it a, you know, forefront in your mind of the things, of your goals and what's important helps a lot.
Now, when you being involved in the church as you are, you sort of might have a front row seat to the whole discussion about what the role of art in the church is. Has that come up even as you've been working on your own artwork? What art should be doing within the context of the church in general and individual congregations?
Yeah, actually, it does come up. And I have I've been doing more to try and engage that thought. Rick and I had the privilege to be able to go to Germany this spring. And as you mentioned, my husband is a pastor in even the Lutheran faith. And Luther was one of the reformers in the 15th century. I hope I have that right. And so we went on this tour in Germany to walk in the places that Luther had been and learn more about his story and his history. And in that process, of course, we went into a lot of the churches that he had been in over the years and preached in. And I was so aware of how important art was for the people at that time. Writing, of course, was books were not as available for all of the people of faith, and so pictures and artwork were the way that the story was conveyed and faith stories were conveyed. And it was everywhere, and it was so rich and diverse and wonderful. And I think in churches today, we have maybe forgotten that a little bit in some denominations more than others, probably, because we have gotten maybe so focused on the written word and have forgotten that some of us learn more through visual experience. And so really, if we can find ways to have our faith stories being told visually as well, I think more people might be able to experience it on a deeper level. And plus, you know, God has created us in with all five senses, and we sometimes focus, you know, forget all of the senses. And I think art is a great way in our lives and in our churches to explore all of the senses and celebrate those and you know, just sort of make us a little more connected and excited about the gifts that God has given us.
I had the same experience recently. We, my wife and I, visited Quebec City and visited some of the Catholic churches in Quebec City and saw the same thing, the tremendous artwork that was there and how it was used predominantly to glorify God and illustrate the gospel story, and it was just phenomenal seeing some of the, I think about the vast majority of the pictures that I took were of some of the buildings and some of the artwork that was there.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Just looking at it, we're running quickly out of time here. Where can people find out a little bit more about you and some of the things you're doing, such as the collaborative in Waterloo?
The collaborative name is Uptown Gallery, and we're at the shops in the Waterloo Town Square on King and Herb Street area in Waterloo. I'm going to be participating in a show this fall at the City of Waterloo Museum. They have a new museum at the Conestoga Mall, and they have an exhibit there going to be called Artifactory, celebrating local architecture in the Waterloo area, and I'll have a painting that will be part of that exhibit. And I was able to work on a couple children's books, Going on a Lion Hunt and The Cat with Dan Hansen, and those books and a little more information about myself and Dan are available through www.goosenetpress.ca, and as well Carolyn Wilker's book Once Upon a Sandbox. I was pleased to do the illustration for that, and her website, I believe you have have mentioned earlier in the month.
Yep.
But she has a lovely blog as well, Storygal.
Yep.
Yeah, those are a few places that you can find my work.
Great. Deborah, thanks very much for your time today.
You're very, very welcome.
And thank you for listening to Arts Connection. Thank you to my guest, Deborah Price. Be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W-13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.